Harry's razors.
Scott, it seems like I have to hide my Harry's razors because...
What?
Yeah, it's in the shower. That's where I do my shaving. I mean,
you're the only man in your house.
That's what I'm talking Uh-oh. About. It seems to be a cross-gender razor.
I did not know that. Well, I didn't know that there was a threat.
The others in the home didn't want me to know it either. But, you know, I've noticed that it's placed a little bit differently. I place it in a way that only I know that it's been used, and I see it changing its spaces.
Interesting. So let's talk value.
Yeah. It's a good value for them.
It is, because it's not costing them a penny. If you want to make a friend, if you want to influence a friend...
Are you saying go up to a stranger and hand them a razor, Scott?
Or someone that you need to be your friend. Gift them a Harry's package. Mm. It's normally $15. With the TRN discount, you get it for $10.
Did you just say Harry package?
So you get the thing for $10. $10, and someone gets the best shave of their life. You are now their best friend. How do you get it, Don? Do you know how?
Well, you go to our page, trailrunnernation.com, go to the partners page, and click, bam, you're over there. You're in Harry's land.
Pick whatever product you want, and then when you check out, use the code TRN. Trail Runner Nation is illuminated by Petzl.
Well, not only that, the now reactive headlamp that's rechargeable that's in my home was, I keep them charged. That's kind of the state of the battery. I always have it on full charge. Well, I loaned mine out to my wonderful wife who was running a evening run.
Yeah.
And so off I go to put my fully charged Petzl now on, and 1 mile into the run, what happens?
Oh, no.
It starts to blink.
Uh-oh. Right? When it starts, that is the sign
The batteries are going. But here's the cool thing. You would never know low battery was coming up because it still gives you full-on lumens. And that's the cool thing. So many times when you put the standard conventional battery in, you start out at 100% and you slowly move down to 0%, right? This battery and this technology gives you full-on battery until the flash, and the flash gives you... Then it backs on down to about 20 or 30 lumen and says, time for you to do something different. But until that moment, I had full charge, which I just absolutely love running fully charged.
You know, most older technology, mm-hmm. as that battery dwindles,
right.
the light slowly dwindles. If I was to paint a graph in your mind,
Scott, were you listening to what I said?
It would be a slope that gradually descends. It would be a gradual descent. Petzl, it stays up there. And then there's like a cliff that it drops off of. But before it drops, it gives you the flashing.
So, Scott, this was kind of like a boomerang ad. I said it, and it came right back.
I'm reinforcing what you said.
Go to our partners page. Go to Petzl. Get over there and get yourself a Now Reactive Lighting Rechargeable. Go either get the Tika RXP or the Petzl Now.
If you're not, you're running in the dark.
Are we recording?
Dr. Romanoff, you're probably very experienced at professional interviews. This is not one of them.
Oh, come on. Don't put yourself down.
we are very casual. That's a good word.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott Wart.
And I'm Faith Goss.
What?
Faith?
What?
Faith what?
I feel like we have this discussion every 6 months. I'll like randomly show up on an iPod and everyone's like, what?
Welcome back, Faith Goss. And we have a bit of a discussion to have with you.
Yeah, hopefully this isn't a 1 in 6 month opportunity again.
No, I think that Faith has finally seen the errors of her ways.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She now has her education. She has a solid job, so she can't use that as an excuse. And then we're going to talk about what she wanted to talk about today, which is she made some bad choices.
and it's kind of one of those times that you just come to the table and you lay out the facts, right? She was, I don't know if you were abducted by that other colony, that other group, that tribe over
it's
there.
Like it's like a 10-step program. It's like, hi, my name's Faith, and I tried triathlon.
Oh, that's a great title.
So I told Faith as she walked into the Studio G just moments ago that the title of this podcast is Per Her Text. She texted us earlier this week or last week and said, "Hey guys, let's get the band back together."
Ah, that's
I
good.
I like that. That's the title of the podcast, and so that's now you know why that's the title.
So, Faith, when was it that you somehow took a left when the trail obviously was marked right?
I don't know. I was trying to think about that. I think this has been like over, it's been more than 12 months because I was, this time last year, I was supposed to do Ironman Tahoe when it got canceled.
Right. Yep.
So it's probably been a year and a half. So we'll call it 16 months, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to put a date on it, but.
You do have a cool bike, though.
A very expensive bike that's gotten me from point A to point B, and now what?
And now what?
It served its purpose. I mean, I still enjoy getting on my bike, and I'm still flirting with the idea of doing another Ironman by the end of the year. But realistically, that's like four Ironmans in a 12-month period, and my body's tired, and I went trail running, and now I don't want to turn back.
Mm.
I'm still, yeah.
So let's start there. All right.
Well, first I want to put a caveat. We joke about the tri community, but you know what?
For good reason.
A lot of our audience has dabbled or is dabbling or will dabble in triathlons. We are endurance athletes, and there's something alluring to doing three different disciplines and going out there and really testing your body. So we joke about it. We will continue to joke about it, but it's all with tongue in cheek.
And there is great value in cross training. I mean, there's absolutely. every serious trail runner that has been faced with the number of hours that are needed to get our bodies in the kind of shape really benefit from some pool and some bike
or injury. It's great non-impact training. So.
With that said, I think that's a good disclosure statement.
That's a disclosure. We did check with the attorneys, and we are now covered from any lawsuits.
Our TRN attorney, have you ever seen his degree or her degree?
I think he's in the corner right there.
That's a skeleton.
So notice it's not in the closet.
A skeleton is not in the closet.
Yeah. So Faith, what attracted you to try sport? What was it that made you take that hard left-hand turn?
Well, I think we've talked about this in the past that...
I need to be reminded.
Yeah. So I will remind you. I think it was just trying to find something... You know, with trail running, I always talked about kind of meeting my edge and like my mental barriers and trying to find something that really, really pushed me to the edge. Like when you bonk during a race or you bonk during a run and you're like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Like trying to find something that brought that on pretty immediately and not, so that's why I tried, you know, triathlon and Ironman racing. You know, I didn't start just with an Ironman. I had done I've done a half a dozen or more half Ironmans and sprint distances. And then I was like, okay, this isn't dark enough. So I really want to try an Ironman. And, that's how I just got into it, was just trying to find a miserable place.
Now your college career had some
water polo.
Mm-hmm. So you have an affinity for the water.
Yeah, I had swimming pretty dialed in. And I can't say that I had running dialed in, and I still will say that I do not have running dialed in a triathlon. Triathlon running is miserable. It's I just did Ironman Coeur d'Alene, and granted it was 105. The rumors are as high as 108 degrees during the race. The last number I remember on the bank sign was seeing 105 when I was going out for my marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked basically the entire marathon, and that was some pain.
So you bring up a real interesting point that I never thought about, is that by the time you get to the run, I mean, you've already done a lot of work, and there, at least in our runs, the beginning is going to be pretty sweet, right? I mean, you're going to
have at least some good running.
Yeah, right? you can really enjoy it. But by the time you get to the run, which is a sport that you really have a lot of love for, it could already be ugly.
Yeah, and it's pavement running, so there's that mental barrier too. Like when you're coming from a trail background, even the last, we'll just call it a year, even in the last year, training on the road, I've torn my body up more than years on the trail.
Mm. Yeah. So with all of the extra, there's a lot of expense to triathlete as well. I mean, from the
statement.
What does a bike cost? What is a, what did, If you don't mind me asking, what did your bike cost?
Honestly, like, it's such a blur. I don't remember.
It's like $2,000?
Because it's not even like you're just getting... Oh, God.
Please.
More than that.
Really?
We're talking...
Five?
Five or six, maybe.
Really?
I don't even know how much my bike itself costs, but like the wheel. So then you got to get the cool wheels, right? Because they make a sweet sound and they're fast. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm not winning my age group here, but it's
the culture. All about the spandex.
Well, yeah.
It's all about the spandex. You got to have the wheel that makes the sound, right?
Yeah. Wait, let's break it down here. Let's start individual sports. So swimming is like, okay, you could do a gym membership, but where we live, we're fortunate enough that we have open water swimming. And I swam this morning and there was like an aqua aerobics, like with old people next to me. And I was like, oh, sweet. This is like open water swimming because there's kind of waves because they're moving. I'm like, this is pathetic that I have that thought process that I'm swimming in a pool with aqua aerobics. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is triathlon. This is open water swimming. So then there's swimming, which is like pretty inexpensive, right? Because you have the bathing suit.
Although you were telling us about these cool headphones you're wearing.
Oh, yeah.
Underwater headphones.
My underwater iPod. Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
They make an iPod that is underwater or a case?
No. It's an underwater. Like, they seal it in some, like, special...
Really?
Spandex, probably. Because it's triathlon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so...
I need one of those.
Yeah, they're actually... It's just like a regular Apple iPod.
Shower?
No, I mean, just in case I'm crossing a river.
Rocky Chucky?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it.
Can you even wear headphones during states?
Yeah.
Oh,
you can?
Yeah.
That's sweet. Mm-hmm. So there's swimming, and then there's like the aerodynamic goggles, right? So you got to get the aero goggles.
What?
Yeah, it's silly. But we don't have enough time to bash triathlon, so moving on.
Okay.
So then the bike, right? So it starts from the wheels, which are like, they sound cool and they look cool. And even though you're not winning your age group like myself, it's just the culture of triathlon. So I got a sweet set of wheels. They were new and those were like $1,200. But usually, okay, that's nothing. Usually a wheel, just one wheel is $1,200. So you're looking at like $1,400 or $2,400 for wheels. And then you got to get the special tires that are not like, they're pop resistant or flat resistant. And then your saddle and then your sweet spandex so you don't get saddle sores. And then your trip to the doctor when you get saddle sores. And then, you know, your bike.
Wow.
I mean, and that's just the beginning.
And we complain about a $110 pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you're getting multiple shoes because you end up injured.
Wow.
Because you're running on the pavement.
Well, you have to have the right shoes too. Speaking of shoes to ride, you know, you've got to clip in and those aren't cheap either.
Yep. Those are not cheap. And it's just like running, it's just like any endurance sports. Like you have the stuff that works for you and you're super particular about what you use. And then you try to switch it up. And I mean, it's just the money's endless. So there's like the money aspect, but like I think that the mental aspect of triathlon versus trail running is, for me, it was very different. Like obviously I started trail running first and then I did triathlon, but trail running, you can look forward to obviously the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Trail running is much more of like it's a totally different community. And I know we've talked about that before, but I remember because States was the same weekend as Ironman Coeur d'Alene. And I remember sitting in my hotel room and looking at the pictures of people checking in States. You know, they take your picture with your bib.
Right.
And just looking through the photos of people and how they were dressed and how they were groomed. And then I like... Or not groomed. Exactly. And you go to the hotel lobby of where my triathlon was and I was like, where am I? Like all these people are like... Triathletes are like super... you know, they're shaved down. They're just like super skinny. And they're not very personable. Like everybody, so you look forward to the trail running community. You get to like an aid station. Everyone's like, come eat, you know,
lots
like,
of hugs, right?
Yeah.
Lots of hugs, high fives.
Like, what do you need? Just very like outgoing. And I mean, there's triathletes that are like aid stations that are fun, but it's nothing like trail running. You look forward to that. It's a big party. And then, yeah, the scenery and you get to walk like, you know, or you get to hike.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like running with hiking.
Mm-hmm.
You walk during a triathlon, everyone's like, what the hell is wrong with you? It's like embarrassing to walk. And needless to say, I mean, it was just like a death march, like out at Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene was unique. It was just hotter than hot. And so,
although the scenery at Coeur d'Alene has got to be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it is very beautiful. It's changed over the last couple of years. The course has changed and it's deviated from beauty, but the run is beautiful. The bike, not so much. But anyways.
And when you're on the trail, and if you're walking, even if it's on a non-walking section, if it's flat, what I think is, oh, that runner's working through something. Mm-hmm. They're putting themselves back together. They're getting some fluids in. It's part of what's going on for them. So, and sometimes those flat walking spots can be a lot harder than the running spots in the hills, you know, as you're going through there. Let's talk about the time for three disciplines, because I think that's probably one of the things that I've kind of pulled back from wanting to kind of look into that tri scene is, man, you hardly have enough time for just running, let alone getting proficient, you know, with the swim and the bike.
Yeah, I think a couple arguments can be made because everybody says, oh, it takes time to get out to the trails. I think it just depends on where you live. Like we bought a house about a year ago, like right when I was getting into triathlon, that was right by the trails. So
that's what's very ironic about
this.
Right? Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, it's just crazy.
You could walk out your door and be on the trail.
Exactly. And I haven't. Like I was running inside Folsom Lake Park on the roads next to the trail. I was like, what is wrong with this picture? So, you know, people make the argument, oh, it takes time to get to the trails. But I think all in all, a trail run workout wise, it's much more bang for your buck. Like, I guess it depends on what kind of ride you're going on, like, and what kind of course you're training on. Like training for Ironman Tahoe and Coeur d'Alene, like I was going on some epic rides and those were like really hard workouts. But then the next days my friend would invite me to go on a trail run and I'd go like 3 miles and I'd be like, I'm sorry, I have to go home. Like it was hard. So I think there's an interesting statement. Does running translate to biking? I don't think so. Does biking translate to running? I would say running translates more to biking than biking translates to running. Does that make sense? Like if I were to like ride my bike, like I was super good spending ton of time on my bike. If I tried to go on a trail run after, I couldn't do it. But if I was running trails, getting into biking was easier.
So maybe an overall fitness?
I'd say
different muscle groups. Running
is an overall body movement versus cycling. You're in the saddle, as you called it earlier, and you're spinning the legs versus the trunk movement. You know, if you're moving your trunk on the bike, you're not looking right.
Well, and maybe that's why I feel like my core has gotten really weak. And so in the last couple of weeks, when I've been getting back to trail running, like my back's tore up after, like my obliques are sore where they haven't been sore before. And I don't know if that's because like, you know, you're worried about your proprioception on the trail, like your body positioning. And so you have to like control your movements more. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but my core has gotten so weak doing triathlon. People say to me, you're doing it wrong. I'm the only triathlete that gains weight doing Ironman. I put on a lot of weight in the last year from doing Ironman, and people are like, what's wrong with you?
So you're at this, you've found your way back to the fork in the road. You made a left instead of a right. Now you're back to the fork. Do you see yourself jumping out of one circle and into the other, or are you going to keep like a toe or maybe a few toes in that triathlon circle?
That's a really interesting question. And I honestly don't know the answer to that right now. I'm extremely burnt out from triathlon. Like I have never felt that burnt out from a sport before.
So you've been around this community for a while.
Which one, Scott?
The triathlon community. Uh-huh. Do you think that that's something that the triathlon community has a problem with, maybe, is burning out? The people get in, I guess, with anything you can go way overboard and get burned out, but I'm just wondering if you see more burnouts in triathlons than in trail running.
Hey, that's a good question.
I would say so, and I think this kind of like plays into Don's question about like the time commitment with triathlon. I think with triathlon, because you are doing three sports, you're spreading yourself so thin. It's like with trail running I never had to do like twice a day. Like, granted, I didn't go over 50 miles and I never did 2-a-day runs. And I know some people do, but like triathlon, it was like you wake up at I would wake up at like 4 a.m. I'd be in my garage on a spin bike, like spinning. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go to, and then for me, I'd have to get off the bike and run or get my stuff together and swim and then go to work. Cause my work day is really crazy. And so I can't get off work and go swim because I get off at like midnight or 1 a.m. But you're just zombie status because you have three different sports you're practicing and you have to get it in. And I'm going to be honest, like my marriage suffered tremendously mm-hmm. during this period. And I have a friend that did Western States the same weekend that I did. And I mean, I think she had some issues too, but not nearly as bad as, I mean, the time commitment for Ironman training is unbelievable.
Well, mm-hmm. to your point, you know, if you want to get on the bike 3 times a week and in the pool 3 times a week mm-hmm. and then run 3 times, you're at 9 workouts. And that's, you know, not many of us that are lining up on start day have 9 workouts, you know, in a week going.
I think what an interesting thing, and I can't remember, triathlon training is often done in hours. So like when triathletes compare themselves to each other, it's like, how many hours do you put in this week?
And that's how they talk. Just that face you put on there.
Totally, yeah. Right? She, it's like she put sass to it.
She put a little condescension.
So how many hours did you do? How many hours did your coach program this week? And you're like...
Yeah, your coach. Everybody has a coach, right?
Everybody's got a coach, right?
And an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. You guys don't use Training Peaks. Do you know what Training Peaks is?
We call those mountains.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Good one. Good one, Don. What's your Training Peak TSS score? I don't even know what that is.
That's funny.
So the triathletes are like, oh, how many hours did you go this week? And you're like, oh, like I was supposed to put in 20 hours. And I mean, that's 20 hours of training plus, okay, normal people work, what, 40 hours a week
mm-hmm.
plus 20 hours of training.
You got to sleep sometime.
And you got to sleep sometime. I don't even know. How many hours are in a week?
168. Isn't that we did the podcast with those guys over there?
That's right.
168.
Yep, 168. Yeah. Good. Okay. Way to go, Don. Yeah.
So 168 minus 40. Not to put you on the spot. Okay, good. I'm not good at this kind of stuff. Minus 20, because 20 hours of training.
108.
And let's say you sleep, realistically, what, 7 hours a day times 7 is 49. I got that one. Okay, so what are we at?
That's a basic math fact.
We're at 108 minus 49. That's a hard one. What's that?
You know, triathletes are not the brightest group.
You're getting out your calculator. I'm interested, because I want to know how many hours are left in a week if you're really putting in 20 hours. To sustain a marriage, theoretically, you need a grocery shop.
Have no kids right now.
I don't have kids. And that's the thing is, I don't know how people who have kids do this thing.
They either ignore them.
Yeah. We got 59 hours left. Okay, so.
And you got to watch The Bachelor, right?
No, that's not on the coach.
Oh, you do that? Or do you do that while you're on your trainer?
I can't focus on TV. If I'm watching TV while I'm on my trainer, I'm not working hard enough.
Okay. But there are different things that these 59 hours need to be divided, like maybe driving to work.
Or showering. Then I work 2 hours. My trip to work is 2 hours, because an hour there and an hour back.
Right.
And let's say I work on average 3 days a week, 4 days a week.
Who works 40 hours a week? Nobody that I know.
What do you mean? You put work more?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way more.
So the fact is that there are things that are important in life that have to be pushed to the side.
Yeah, I just start basically making a list, things to get done after Ironman. Oil change. Bring your laundry in. Donate spandex to Goodwill because it now has a hole in the crotch.
Vacuum the carpet.
Vacuum the carpet. Get dog food. Exercise the dogs.
Yeah.
My dog has gotten fat simultaneously with me. So yeah, I mean, triathlon takes a lot of time. And when I had my Western States qualifier a couple years ago, I was like, there's no way. Like running 100 miles takes way more time for training than a triathlon does Ironman.
No.
I don't know. I mean, I've never trained for 100 miler like you guys have. Why don't you talk about the time commitment of training for 100 miler? Because I don't know anything about that.
It varies.
Oh, there's a couple ways to do it. You can either undertrain or overtrain.
So how many hours a week is that?
You know what? I remember counting of doing 20-hour training weeks. I mean, mm-hmm. that happened, but I don't think it was necessary. You know, so I've done it with a lot less, which didn't really turn out too well. But, you know, I wouldn't say 20 would be unheard of.
So Faith, are your trail running friends different from your tri friends, or do you kind of cross pollinate? The question I'm getting to is, you abandoned your trail running friends.
That's a harsh word.
I'll tell you what.
And we welcomed you back with open arms. I'm wondering, do your trail running partners, are they saying, yes, Faith is back?
Yes.
Come and join us.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. Like, I'm so excited this weekend to run trails with my friends that I haven't. I mean, I the last couple of weeks I've run with them a little bit, but my girlfriend that ran States after States, she went on a trip to Baja, Mexico. She's got a house down there. And so I really haven't seen her since she finished States. I'll tell you what, triathletes don't drink beer. So that's awkward. So
why not?
Cause they're really worried about their figure and like, I don't know. It's weird. They're like, hey, what's in your protein shake, bro?
Are they wine drinkers? They're not beer drinkers.
Are they snooty? I mean, we know triathletes are snooty, but do they drink
cork
fine
sniffers?
Wine?
Are they cork sniffers?
No, they just straight up like whey protein and like soy protein products. Yeah. They don't really like. So I remember the first meetup I went to with a triathlon club. I was like, sweet, let's go get beers. And everyone's like, what, beers? I'm like, no.
So do you feel that when you went over to the triathlon side, that automatically you started paying more attention to the nutrition side? Or do you think it was similar?
I wish.
Well, no, that may not have been that.
Are you talking about like during exercise or
No. I mean, you talked about the whey protein shakes and all that sort of stuff. Did you fall into, let me ask you this way. This is a different, did you spend more on supplements as a triathlete than a trail runner?
Not necessarily. I think probably later in the game, because I started to feel just like achy and my body hurt. And so I was like trying to figure out like, maybe I'm not getting enough of X, Y, and Z. And then you ask your triathlon friends and they're like, oh, are you on magnesium? And you're like, no, what is magnesium? So I pretty much just like was like, oh, I need all the help I can get. Like, what do I need to do? Like, tell me what to do. I did, however, find a really awesome, not to endorse a sports product, but I just have to mention it. Vespa. Have you guys heard of Vespa at all?
We have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I started using Tailwind because, you know, yeah. I love Tailwind. And I had actually gone away from using Tailwind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why I did. Oh, now I remember. Because it made my bike sticky. Like, is that the lamest thing you've ever heard? That's like so pathetic. Oh, I don't want to use it because it spills on my bike and it makes my bike sticky. And it's just a pain cleanup. So that's dumb. So I stopped using Tailwind for a while, and then I got introduced to Vespa, which is like an amino acid supplement.
And very expensive.
It is very expensive, but the thing works. Using that in conjunction with Tailwind, like I stopped eating like less crap on my bike. Like I would, you'd see people, like it's so funny. You show up at a triathlon and you know, you have your top tube of your bike and people have like a full on buffet taped to their top tube of their bike. You'd see like 10 goos and like random like shot blocks and you're like, bro, that's ruining the paint on your bike and you look stupid.
Well, and you need to pay attention to the paint on your bike,
yeah,
right?
You do, right?
Where a trail runner would take flat black paint and scrape it up. And
yeah. So, I was the type of person that I had like my bento box on my bike and it was like a full on buffet in there. And it was like, I can't carry enough stuff on my bike to eat, you know, for 112 miles. And everyone's like, no, that's dumb. Like try Vespa. Try like a higher fat diet, like more meats and just like higher protein kind of products, eliminate carbohydrates and try to use like fat burning. And I think we've talked about that even with Tailwind too. And so I started using Tailwind in my bottle. My bike was sticky, but who cares? And it worked. And I don't think I took in like, I don't even know how many calories. I barely take in calories on the bike. It's just done through Tailwind, really.
That's all you need all day long, really.
That's what they say.
Yeah. It is, you know, we know that Tailwind was born in the mountain biking scene. Did you see many people using Tailwind in the tri?
I actually did.
Really?
It's made its way into the tri world.
Cool.
It really has. Tailwind is huge now.
Hmm.
I mean, locally. Like, I know definitely in, like, the Sacramento area, in the triathlon scene, it's huge.
That's great.
So, I think that's really cool because I remember...
It works.
Yeah, I remember like when we used to talk to the Tailwind people and like they were sending it to us in like suspicious Ziploc bags. Like, now it's like
I remember that bag.
Yeah.
People are out of Tailwind. Like
yeah.
Going up to Auburn Running Company, people are like, they're like, oh, we're out. I'm like, what? That's crazy.
So cool. I would like to find something very positive to say about the tri community in a moment.
Okay. Do we need to push the pause button?
No. Take some calls. Yeah. Tweet it out there. But before I do that, if you were riding your bike and you had a flat tire and people were coming by, would they volunteer their tube or their container of air for you?
So this actually happened to me twice this last season.
Because a trail runner, if a person, do you need some sodium? I've got a goo here. I have some duct tape. What do you need?
The only person
I see you have 15 goos taped to your bike frame.
Do you think you could spare one? So this happened to me during St. George this year, and the only person that stopped me was like the 75-year-old man, and he's like, I live here, like this is just my back, and people were racing by me, so I had probably been stopped for already like 5 minutes, and I'm looking up because I'm like, I blew my CO2 cartridge, and I'm standing there holding a, hey, does anybody have a CO2? And nobody stopped for me until this 70-year-old guy stopped for me like 5-10 minutes into this, like help me on the side of the road. I was shocked.
Hmm. So what if it was just a training ride? What in that context would people stop?
All the training. Well, you like obviously if they're my friends, of course. But like I did some training rides during like just cycling, like centuries, which are like mostly cyclists. Like I'm the only idiot that shows up there with their tri bike, and so people are like, "What is this chick doing?" But
cyclists
are very friendly.
By the way, those wheels sound really cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, cyclists have the wheels too, because they're into that kind of stuff too. But I'm really not trying to bash.
We're going to say something nice in a minute. We're going to say something nice.
We'll think of something.
Yeah. Okay.
Or make something up.
Cyclists are nice. I mean, people definitely help like during training runs. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think I'd like to talk about what it feels like to go from not trail running to like starting again. And
okay, we can do that after we say something nice about the tri community.
I know, but I don't have anything.
I'll tell you, I can think of something that I perceive. Okay. And you can tell me if it's true.
All right.
They are analytical Nazis, meaning they really understand and track
data,
their performances, and they learn from it, and they try to become better because of the analysis.
Yeah, that's a nice thing, Scott.
I do. Yeah. I think that sometimes, and we've talked to Sally Edwards about this, where we get out in the black hole of training, where we just slog along just to put in the miles at the same heart rate, at the same perceived effort, and we're not getting any better. Where I think my perception is as someone that gets into triathlons, gets into a culture of trying to become better on every single training ride, every single race, they're doing better and better and better and better, even as a mid-packer or back of the packer.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. I want to like just generally say that I didn't intend for this to turn into a triathlon bashing conversation, but it's so easy. And I do consider myself a triathlete. Like I've been doing Ironman for a year now. I've done two Ironmans. And
Iron Men.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like Merman. I've done two Ironmans, and I do consider myself a triathlete. And I mean, I do love the sport, but right now I'm just really burnt out. And so maybe it's not the best time to talk about it, since I'm just like, I'm so negative right now about the sport because I'm just kind of tired.
You know, I could see, this is my prediction. I could see Faith getting back into trail running and kind of jumping from the tri hoop, the tri circle, over to the trail running circle. And then in a year from now, finding a balance between the two.
Yeah. Well, look at Lee McKinley. He does that very, very well. He went to Kona and he goes up to, and so he'll go out and rock a trail run. And then
and there's many of us besides him that are in the community and they go out and do that.
And he has that nice balance between the two, but his personality doesn't seem to have a conflict either. I mean, Lee is just Lee, and he's
Do you think he stands out in Kona? People look at him and go, hey, you don't have the cool sounding wheels? He probably does.
No, he does.
Does he wear spandex?
He wears spandex.
He wears the uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to do that. You can't go out there in your baggy shorts and and
but it'd be cool if he did, because he'd still like totally pass everybody. Like, this is this guy showing up in the hammer pants. He's like passing everybody.
He is so strong. So I think that's good. And I don't think we've bashed too much on him. We were just talking a little bit about some
my
of the
experiences.
Yeah. So I think you're safe.
So now
you're not going to lose your triathlete card.
Yeah. You're. Yeah. There is a card.
Is there really?
Aren't you a member of like?
Oh, the USAT card.
See, you've got to have a card.
It's on my keychain.
We don't have
those kind of cards. We need to get a card.
You know what we have? We have the Cocopelli.
That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually wore my Cocopelli during Coeur d'Alene.
Did it help?
Yes, it did.
There you go.
Did I wear my Trail Runner Nation? I actually think I wore my Trail Runner Nation hat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because I remember somebody, maybe they recognized it on my leg. They're like, hey, I like your tattoo. And I'm like, well, it's not real. But I put it right here, and I put it on my right knee, and I like that spot because as soon as you move your knee, it looks like the Cocopelli is running. So that's like I always put it there.
You started
I'm gonna have to try that.
She started that. That's the very first time when we applied those. She put it there.
That's right.
Harken back to that old podcast. Yes, and Faith, it is real. Okay,
it is real. The feeling is real.
Let's talk about.
Getting back to the trail. What did you miss so much about the trail? What brings you back?
Well, it's just the scenery, but the community, like really it's the community that brought me back. Like as soon as I was ready to, so I walked the entire marathon. And so I have injuries from walking, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty short. So I was walking with people that were taller than me. And so with every heel strike, I was hyperextending my leg, and my calves are just really, they really haven't recovered.
You don't have to match their stride, Faith.
I know, but I did, because if I didn't, I would be out there all
day
long.
She would be running.
When I got off my bike, I had 8 hours to complete the marathon, and I almost took, it didn't take me 8 hours. I think it took me 6 hours to walk the marathon. It was really, really painful, but I still had 2 hours to spare at the end of the race, so I got it done, but I wanted to beat my time from Arizona, but I didn't.
And I'm going to be a little bit ignorant here. You finished.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get when you finish a triathlon?
Okay, let's talk about that.
I wanted to go to the swag. Let's talk about finish stuff and swag before the race. Let's get into some
of that. I want a damn belt buckle.
Yeah.
I slogged it out for... Coeur d'Alene took me 15 hours. That's a long time to be out. I mean, granted, it's not like my good friend Jen was out at States for, over 24 hours, but I think I deserve something more than a t-shirt and a hat that my dog has subsequently eaten. Like,
you should feed your dog. You should go get that food.
So the finishing,
I'm collecting pieces. How it poops it
out. The finishing reward is
a medal.
So you get a medal.
You do get a medal.
A t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
A technical t-shirt.
Yeah. It's a tech shirt. It says like,
and the hat.
Iron Man fin- yeah. Yeah. And, that's it.
Okay.
And the price of an Ironman is like $800.
What? Wow. Run that back. $800?
800.
Is there financing available?
No. And there's no, you get like a $50 refund. Like,
wait, what, when you finish?
No. Yeah. I want my money back. This is not what I wanted. I want my money back.
So it's a non-refundable $800.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get to Don's question. I didn't even think about that. They must have a heck of a swag bag at the beginning of the race, right?
What?
Like a Garmin watch, perhaps?
No. Uh-uh. The backpacks this year, you do get a backpack.
Yeah,
you get
that's
a backpack.
Nice.
This is the first year that I've seen like really awesome backpacks. And I'm not sure if it's race specific, because I did like last year when I did Arizona was in the year 2014. And so the backpack was different than Coeur d'Alene in 2015. And then Tahoe, I'm not sure if the backpack's going to be the same as my Coeur d'Alene backpack or back to like a cheap one. So,
well, that begs the question, and or at least the talk. All Ironman length triathlons are put on by an organization, Ironman, right?
Yeah, the Ironman. Yeah.
So it's not like in our community where, anybody that has enough time on their hands can go and start a 100-mile race. And I guess anybody could start a triathlon.
But it's not Ironman branded.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so Ironman.
So do you get an Ironman watch? Do you get an Ironman watch?
No. Uh-uh. Like I said, you get the backpack, the medal, the hat, the t-shirt.
What's in the backpack? There got to be like some
flyers.
For other triathlons.
They used to give you a Red Bull, but they don't even do that anymore.
There's an $800 receipt in that backpack.
Yeah. Wow.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this conversation is going to turn into Ironman bashing the brand, which I can do all day, so I feel like we need to move on.
Okay, we'll move on. $800 is a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
What? I guess it's justified. So tell me a little bit about the knockoff brand. Are there many knockoff Iron distance,
like the Bronze Man?
Yeah, so there used to be, and then Ironman, it's kind of like they divide and conquer. They sweep up smaller races.
They go buy them?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they have enough money.
And they,
The local Santa Cruz race, they bought that one. There's one down in San Diego that used to benefit. I think it still benefits the Navy SEALs. It's like the only beneficiary Ironman. Great. Like I said, we can't talk about Ironman or I will start bashing.
Mm-hmm. And our attorneys have advised us not to.
Not to. The skeleton says no.
So let's get to your point, back to the trail.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So transitioning back into trail running, definitely miss the community, miss the beauty, miss the challenge. It's just a different challenge. It's using different muscle groups. And I think it's important to change it up, you know, to help your body never get too comfortable doing something.
So we can go out on the trail and just run for some casual, social, just I'm going to go out and enjoy this run. We're allowed to do that. And we give ourselves permission to that. Something makes me think in this highly competitive Excel spreadsheet world that everything is pushed to that limit each day, making sure you're in the right zone. And there isn't the opportunity to just go out and have some fun and meet up.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. But that's the thing is triathlon's a very lonely sport. Like obviously trail running is an individual sport. So triathlon's a very individual sport, but it felt so lonely out there. Whereas trail running, you're never alone. Mm-hmm. Like even, I mean, in a race, you may be running by yourself, but you're never, for some reason, I never felt alone when I was trail running.
It's 'cause there's the critters.
The critters and the oak.
And the poison oak.
I've already gotten poison oak.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I just think that, and I remember I used to be able to just go out for, we'd just go out for 20 miles with your friends. Like I was like, hey, you want to hit 20 miles this weekend? You're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And last weekend I went and did the Olmsted Loop, which is it's not too difficult. I've never felt like the Olmsted. I mean, I get lost out there every single time.
Yeah, it's an eight mile loop that you can run 20 miles on.
Yeah.
It's the Bermuda Triangle of trail running.
It is. I swear. So, I went out there last weekend and I was wrecked. And that's not even a challenging for where we live. That's nothing. Like Olmsted's casual. And I was destroyed. Huh. And I'm pacing my best friend at Rio del Lago, the 100 miler.
Yeah.
It's not till November. You have time.
But I'm panicking.
It's good. It's healthy for you.
Destroyed me.
So let's talk about just some of the benefits of trail running. I think that'd be fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. When you leave it, you might be missing something. And I think that one of the things that I find about trail running is you can really work through some stuff. Mm-hmm. When you're just out there with nature, totally unplugged, that you can just, you know, all of a sudden solutions to problems come at you.
It's good for the soul, literally. It's good for your internal soul. It's good for your body.
It lowers stress. I find that it lowers stress. You know, I am a better employee as a trail runner than not. So sometimes I have to work through, you know, the time that I'm out there running, should I be working? And then I think, you know what? I'm more productive. I'm a more productive employee when I'm out there on the trail.
I was going to say, I think for now, the thing that I look forward to the most is not racing. I don't think I have, not raced in like four years. You may have to find me on my ultra sign up alias because there is one.
that's my point. I was going to ask is you're looking forward to not racing even if you register for a race. So you're one of those that has an alias and you would rather run a race and not have it count against you. That may be a little bit of a triathlete.
You know what I was going to say? That's a triathlete move there.
That's kind of a try.
Well, because I used to be okay at it. Like I used to do pretty decent at it. And like, I just, I know it's a mental thing that I have to overcome. My priorities are different. I'm trying to focus on my marriage and be a better employee.
Yeah.
Be a better caretaker to the community. I mean, because that's what I do for a living. Just like being better with my patients and being more flexible at work. My dog.
Feeding your dog food instead of hats.
Dogs. Yeah. cleaning my house.
Picking up all the peaches.
And honestly, this is really kind of funny, but thinking about it, being a wife, like as soon as we got married in 2013, like that's when my friends were doing Ironman Tahoe the month before my wedding, and I had trained with them for Ironman Tahoe, and then we got married, and I have been seeking Ironman ever since. So just being present in my relationship, I think, is huge.
That takes a lot of work.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And being present in my relationship with my friends too on the trail. Like going, if they're like, hey, you want to just go run? And I'm like, yeah, just say yes.
You know, as I recall, your husband was kind of dabbling in a little trail running there when you first got married. Mm-hmm. Did he dabble in the triathlon thing with you?
I don't know if we ever talked about that. I feel like we brought this up on a podcast once. So Darren, my husband, and I went and did Oceanside in 2014. It was right after we got married.
What is Oceanside?
Oceanside is a half Ironman down in San Diego.
All right.
And that was his first triathlon ever. And Darren had bought like a sweet tri bike like back in 2008, like a long time ago. And he's like, I'm going to get into triathlon. And he bought the bike first without trying the sport. And it sat in the garage and I would hound him. And that's like you said, like a $4,000 bike, if not like $8,000. I don't even remember. It was a lot of money.
Did the wheels sound nice?
No, he never got the sweet wheels.
All right.
I think he tried mine once, but they were too loud for him. He had to wear earplugs. He's old. anyways, so we went and did a race together and we passed on the run like two ships in the night. Like literally we ran past each other and we didn't even acknowledge each other. And
wow.
And actually we don't train very well together. We would go out for bike rides and just hammer each other. It's not good for our relationship.
Mm. You're very competitive, Faith.
We're both very competitive. So, we don't train well together, but actually last weekend we went on the Olmsted Loop together. We ran with two separate groups. So I think we're going to try to trail run together. I think that's healthier for our relationship because we do love to hike.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just trail running is probably better for our relationship.
It takes two to tango, Faith. You can just back off a little bit and enjoy and let him lead a little bit.
Faith doesn't back off.
I know.
Don't tango.
Maybe now that she's back in the community, maybe she'll learn.
I can definitely back off. I am signed up for Ironman Tahoe, but I am just at a place right now where I am so just looking. I'm really enjoying just working out because I want to and not because I have to get my heart rate in zone 3 for 20 minutes and da da da. Like, I'm just happy to just be around and not working out like three times a day.
When is Tahoe?
September 20th. And I'm going to ride the course tomorrow to see if it speaks to me. And
we've paid the money, right?
Well, so it's a rollover from last year.
Oh, okay.
But Ironman made you pay an extra $100. So you lost your entry. Yeah. Seriously, we can't talk about this. Wow. So you lost your entry last year. And so one of your options was to sign up again for this year, but you had to pay another $100.
Administrative fees.
Exactly. So, and I feel like I have something that I didn't finish there. But that being said, they've also changed the Tahoe course for the third time. And it's not even the same as it was last year. So it's like I feel like I need to finish what I started, but it's not even the same course anymore. And plus, I am truly injured. Every time I run on the road, my calves really hurt. The trail, I'm fine with. Like, I can run on the trail, and for some reason, it doesn't hurt. But
Don't the roads have, like, a side dirt area?
I should look into that. I think they do on the trail a little bit, but not the whole thing. Mm. So I don't know. It's an option.
The trail scene has really adopted the fastest known time, the FKT thing. Do you guys have anything like that over there where does the tri scene have an FKT Strava push type of thing?
No, but there was some guy, I think it was 2 days ago. It's called the Iron Cowboy, and he just finished 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 different states.
Ooh. You know what? I saw something about that.
I can't even.
He looked like Rob Krar.
Yeah, he did. I know, he looked like a trail runner.
He did.
And I'm wondering if it's like a closet trail runner that, like, you know, is the ultimate endurance athlete that's like, I can do this. You know, just wakes up one day and goes and does, an Ironman.
Wow. That's incredible.
Because honestly, coming from a trail background, I think really helped out mentally with triathlon. I don't know. Maybe if I started as an endurance triathlete and then I came into trail running, it would feel the same way. But having an endurance background, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Honestly, people are like, oh my gosh, Ironman sounds so hard. And I'm like, if you just set your mind to it, anybody can do an Ironman. But I don't think anybody can run 100 miles.
Do you think 15 hours with the three sports is easier than putting 15 hours just running? What are your thoughts? You've done...
Ooh, good question.
Is 15 hours... Of
15 and 15.
Is it easier?
What would you rather... launch out of the door right now?
So I'll make this statement. So I did I did AR50 in 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done Ironman. My fastest time was 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ironman was harder than 50 miles.
Okay.
But I don't think I could run 100 miles. I think 100 miles is harder. I have this debate with people all the time. I think 100 miles is way harder than an Ironman, but I think an Ironman is harder than a straight up just like ultra, like 27 miles or 50 miles. I think Ironman is harder than a 50 mile run. That being said, AR50 is a pretty easy course compared to a lot of the other 50s out there. And that's the only 50 I've done. So I really don't know. That's a generalization, but I don't have much experience running 50 miles. So I'm probably incorrect. I'm sure a lot of listeners would argue with that.
So what have you signed up for?
Either
as Faith Goss Lehman or as your alias.
Are
you looking at a race right now?
I am. I am. I'm looking if anybody is local or not local and is coming for the Folsom Lake. There's a Circumnavigate. It's a relay. I'm looking to get on a relay team for that. I thought about running Run on the Sly in August.
When are these races?
So Run on the Sly is August 16th.
Like this month.
Yeah, it's in 2 weeks. So I was thinking about doing either the half marathon or the 20 mile or just depending on, I'm running this Sunday to see how it goes. And then the Circumnavigate's in October. I'd like to do something for my birthday in September. So maybe I should set a goal and do that. And then I go back to Woodside in December pretty much every year. So I'll probably do Woodside. But right now I'm not signing up for, these are all thought processes. If I sign up for things, I would like to just do it the week before because I really just don't want to have the pressure of my name on a list somewhere, alias or not. Because it's still mental to me. Even if it's an alias, it's still like, I know I have to do it. And I just want to like run because I want to, not because I have to.
So I would venture to say, Don and I were talking about this earlier, that all of us, whether we're triathletes or whether we're trail runners, have lulls. We have, you know, we're all in, really pushing, trying to do something, and then either something happens with work or personal life or injury where you have to back off, and then you have to come back. I'd be interested to throw this out to the community once you hear this podcast to get on our Facebook page or Twitter or whatever and tell us how you came back. I think that would be interesting to...
Why
is a good one. Yeah.
What initiated that?
Yeah.
I would say this is the first time triathlon actually kept me relatively uninjured. I was more injured running trail than I was doing triathlon. And I think that's because I'm doing three different sports and you're not only focusing on just running. But this is the first time in like 2 years that I've been like legit injured. I mean, I can still run through it. Like I mostly run on the road like in the mornings and I can run through it. But it's kind of, I feel injured. It's a bummer.
I want to give a shout out to that Folsom Lake Ultra Trail that happens on October 10th, 2015.
That's single track running.
Right. Single track running. You can either do a relay or you can go around the whole lake yourself.
How many miles is the whole thing? You know,
67, I think.
Well, the lake keeps getting smaller because we have a drought. And so, yeah, it started at 71. We're down to about
13.
13 is a half marathon now, which is a puddle.
Yeah, I'm going to.
You could probably walk across it if you wanted to.
You can. So I'm going to keep an eye on the Facebook page once it gets posted. I'd be really interested to see what people's motivation was to get back to trail running. And what their experiences were, either triathlon or, you know, mountain biking, what your experience was dabbling in another sport and coming back to trail running. Because I'm sure there's a lot of things that I haven't mentioned on the podcast that I have in my head that, you know,
you'll tell us on a run, right?
Yeah.
What happens on the run stays on the run.
Or on a Facebook post.
You're right. Yeah.
An alias Facebook post.
I'm your biggest fan. You just don't know it.
Gaith Foss. Look for Gaith. I'm still calling you Goss. That's not your name.
That's okay. You can call me that.
So, Faith, like the community, we welcome you back here.
Thank you. It's so good to be home.
And the trail always, always welcomes back a runner. Never holds or places judgment.
No judgment.
It's always nice to find home with that trail.
And we're all glad for that.
Yes. And we all get reunited with it from time to time. And the downs are still there. The ups are still there. The challenges are there. And it's nice to revisit some of the same trail and think back to other times when you ran with other runners or were in different shape or a different space in your life. And it's nice to run along those same scenes and kind of think through that.
Isn't that, we have a private joke between Don and myself. There's a certain loop that we do and a certain spot on that loop that I told Don a story. And now every time we pass that spot, even if Don is on the run by himself, he'll send me a picture.
Of that spot.
Or a video of that spot to remind me.
Yeah, that's a fun thing.
And I think there's spots on the trail wherever you are where you think, I remember 5 years ago what happened at this spot.
I actually said that to my friend the other day. I remember my best friend at the time told me that she was pregnant at this like one spot on the trail. And I was devastated because she was supposed to pace me during a race. And I'm like, I remember when Casey told me. And I'm like, ugh.
You know, we've mentioned that on a podcast before about how is it and why is it, and we have a hypothesis of why it is, that we can remember, right? You told me that story when we were by that rock or that bridge.
Uh-huh.
How is it that we connect position and location with story? Mm-hmm. And it's so those connections are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we had concluded through our podcast abilities to pontificate and make up things, is that that's how we survive out there. This is where the lion lives.
And that's true.
This is where the poisonous plant is.
That's awesome.
And so information and location need to be connected very tightly in our internal files.
Well, you think, where were you when the man landed on the moon or when 9/11 happened?
Well, a lot of the listeners weren't alive, Scott.
I'm trying to think. No, I wasn't.
Oh, yeah. nice save.
Nice catch. Yeah. But, I mean, we all remember when things happen and where we were, right?
Yeah. Well, so you're listening to this podcast and then...
Where are you right now?
I'm here.
Don't forget that.
So you're listening to this podcast and then for whatever reason you unplug and then you run it back and you go, oh, I heard that when I was just right there at that last... You know, you can place yourself on the trail where you heard that. I think it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So, Faith, welcome back.
Yep.
Thank you.
We're
Good
glad to have
here.
You back.
Good to be
We're
here.
We're looking forward to many a podcast.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now go out and run.
Nice.